Hello, friends. Lee Arnold here with our weekly visit of Country Music Conversations. Today's guest exemplifies what the word fusion really means. His music fused rock, country, blues, and even jazz, and he was a wizard at every one of them, both instrumentally and vocally. Through the years, we've had many conversations, and I was always amazed at his upbeat personality, his intellect, his musicianship, and his patriotism. We're in for a big treat today with none other than Charlie Daniels. But before we start this conversation, here are a few words from our sponsor. Country Music Conversations with Lee Arnold's podcast is made possible by our sponsor, MarketSmith, Inc., the digital media agency that's been growing brands like Tumi, SharkNinja, New Jersey Lottery, PSE&G, Blue Mercury Cosmetics, and Dick's Sporting Goods. You know what makes this agency so good at what they do? Because simply being a marketing agency is no longer enough. Solution-based, problem-solving, and ever-evolving, they create enduring value for DTC and B2B brands by opening up and growing marketing channels. Their patented AI offerings, informed by human intelligence, allow them to act with agility and intellect. I was speaking with the CEO not too long ago, and she was saying they take on clients who know who they are, who want to grow, and clients that know what they want. These big brands choose MarketSmith because they want to merge with a partner who'll make them exceptional and an agency that will grow their revenue. Digital marketing is not easy, but MarketSmith, Inc. knows when to make the media dollars work hard for their clients. You have a brand you want to grow? Well, contact MarketSmith.com and tell them Lee Arnold sent you. Charlie was born in Wilmington, North Carolina, and back in the 50s, he played guitar, fiddle, mandolin, and began his career in a bluegrass band. By the 60s, he was performing rock and roll with his band called the Rockets, who eventually changed their name to the Jaguars. During this time, he was also writing songs for Jerry Jackson and Elvis. He was encouraged to move to Nashville, where he became a session musician, playing on Bob Dylan's Nashville Skyline album and backing other greats like Ringo Starr and Leonard Cohen. Charlie released his debut album in 1970, which was the nucleus of the Charlie Daniels Band. Uneasy Rider became his first big hit in 1973, and the following year, he started his annual Volunteer Jam, which featured the big stars of country music and southern rock bands as well. It became an annual event, and it drew thousands of people. His most successful commercial album happened in 1973, titled Million Mile Reflections, which featured his career song, The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Charlie played himself in the blockbuster hit Urban Cowboy. At this point, because of the decline of Southern rock, Charlie decided to shift focus in his sound from rock to country, a smart move which produced many hit albums and singles. The 21st century saw Charlie, who had previously recorded for major labels, switch gears and started recording for independent labels. In October 2005, he was honored by BMI with the Icon Award. Charlie loved to write, and he wrote a couple of books, including his memoir, quote, Never Look at the Empty Seats, unquote. He refused to express his political views in his concerts. Once he said, I don't consider myself political. I can understand why people would say what I write is political, but it's not. It's just my feelings. Fast forward to 1976, and Charlie was performing at fundraisers for Jimmy Carter's presidential bid, and he also performed at his inauguration the following January. Charlie became a member of the Grand Ole Opry in 2008 and was elected to the Musicians Hall of Fame in 2009 and was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2016. Charlie married his wife Hazel in 1964, and they had one child, Charles Daniels Jr. Charlie enjoyed hunting, fishing, snowmobiling, and other outdoor activities. However, on July 6, 2020, he died at the age of 83 of a severe stroke. This conversation that we're listening to now took place in 1989 while he was appearing in Ohio. Here now is Charlie Daniels.
Lee Arnold backstage catching up with Charlie Daniels. It's been a while, Charlie.
It is, but you know, I always see you. I think ever since I've known you, which has been, what, 15, 16 years, I always run into you two or three times a year. Very seldom more than that, but at least two or three times a year. Don't you think we're both getting better looking as time goes along?
Well, I know definitely you are, because I saw a definite loss in weight here. I mean, you're a vision of loveliness there.
I wouldn't go so far as that. You don't have to stretch it, Lee. But it's good to see you, old friend.
It's good to see you too, Charlie. You did drop quite a bit of weight. I guess, have you been on a diet, exercising? Or
I've been doing both, actually. Last January. I've been on three different diets. I would do one for a while and get tired of it and then go on another one. That's one of the things about trying to lose weight, because you have to be on them so doggone long till they just wear you out. And after a while, I think it's better maybe to move around a little bit. A doctor probably wouldn't tell you that, but I think it is.
Trouble with trying to lose weight, being a country music entertainer, is tough in the first place because you're on the road with a crazy schedule, a food schedule that's absolutely nuts. You can't eat the right foods at the right time, so it's doubly difficult.
You know, really, though, Lee, when you get down to it, it depends on how bad you want to do it. If you want to, you can. I mean, it'd be easy to hide behind excuses and say, well, I can't be healthy because I can't live a normal life, but this is normal to me. I've been doing this so many years that the other kind of life is abnormal to me, staying home all the time. So it's just really an excuse if you say you can't. It's a little more difficult at times, but it can be done.
Your album, Homesick Heroes, has turned out to be one of the best yet on CBS Records, produced quite a few hit singles, and, of course, the big hit, Boogie Woogie Fiddle Country Blues, a little while back.
Yeah, that was the first single that released off of the album. This album stayed on the charts. I haven't checked the charts to see if it's still on there or not, but it's been on the charts for longer than any album that I ever remember as having on the charts, probably, 7 or 8 months, I guess.
I had the feeling, listening to all the cuts, that this was an album that Charlie Daniels and the CDB worked on very, very hard to get perfection.
We did. But also at the same time, you know, Lee, this is the first album we were able to do for Nashville, mm-hmm. the Nashville folks. And it was almost like having the handcuffs taken off, because we didn't have to be so concerned about pop music. Pop music is in such a flux right now. I mean, it's as it always is. And we just don't fit that mold. And we came to Nashville, it was like having the handcuffs taken off, and we were able to do the music that comes natural to us. So while you are absolutely right, we worked awfully hard on that record. We put in some 14-hour days on it in the studio, but at the same time, it was very much a labor of love and not a real straining sort of a thing. It was hard work, but it was kind of like, you know, just kind of, we hit a natural stride there, and we're doing the same thing now. We're doing our music.
Uh-huh. And you've had so much music to give the world. I mean, both the pop audience and the country audience. Yours was, I guess, could have been branded not really country, but a form of southern rock, vis-a-vis the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band or Marshall Tucker. You brought kind of an interesting fusion with country music.
We came in, I started saying into being, and actually we had been together for a while before the quote-unquote country music, I mean, southern music phase hit. We, you know, something about that, the music at that time basically was music that had just been indigenous to the South for a long time. Blues and country music is what made up the Southern, what was called Southern rock. Marshall Tucker and ourselves as being kind of the leaning toward the country side of things. Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Allman Brothers Band being more on the blues side of things, which is the traditional, two of the very traditional Southern types of music. You know, really, right now, if you were to go back and play, of course, a lot of country stations did play Ramblin' Man by the Allman Brothers Band. And, of course, the Marshall Tucker stuff fits on country music. And nowadays, if you'll play Sweet Home Alabama by the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band, you're right into the format. So, basically, it's been there. Maybe we were all just a little ahead of
your time.
Ahead of somebody's time. I don't know about ours or whose, but at the time that we were doing a kind of music that country at that time was not right ready to accept. It was a little hard edge for country radio, but as country radio and the country music fans have moved along and the demographics have changed a little bit, things have got a lot more liberalized. And that's right where we are right now. A lot of the country music nowadays, I can hear one of our old records like South's Gonna Do It on a country station in mixed in with a lot of other present day things. And of course the recording techniques have improved vastly since then, and there's a difference in the sound of the record, but insofar as the content of the record, the song and the arrangement and all that sort of thing, it fits right in. So, you know, we really hadn't changed that much.
You've worn many, many hats in your time as a performer, as a songwriter, as a producer, as a session musician, and kind of a discoverer of talent too along the way, whether it was country talent or pop talent or southern rock talent. You've been very instrumental in wearing many hats and doing many different things in the world of music, Charlie, and also a short story writer.
Well, I like variety in my life, Lee. I always have. I don't want to ride the same horse all the time, you know, and I don't want to do the same thing all the time. And I've enjoyed doing that. My first love in the music business, though, is getting on stage and entertaining people. That's the first thing. And, of course, traveling around the country with these people that I love so much is a big thing to me. Being a part of something as American as country music is, and watching it grow and watching it go and watching the different people that get into it and watching it spread worldwide. You know, Voice of America, which we don't get in this country. I think we're the only country in the world that don't get Voice of America because I don't think they're licensed to broadcast in this country. But there is a full-time country music show on Voice of America.
This one?
Yes.
Yeah, this one.
Well, that one. Yes, that one plus another. Yeah, yeah. Plus another country music
Judith
show.
Mass.
Judith Mass's country music show. And this goes to the United States that we're doing here too, doesn't it?
Right.
Right. That's what we're informing the people. Right. This of course goes to Voice of America, but we're telling the people in this country that there is a great awakening and a great interest in country music around the world, and not just in the English-speaking countries. You know, when we did volunteer jam with Voice of America a couple of times, and the letters we got came from Poland, Sri Lanka, just all over. I mean, places that people you would think would not know what country music was, but they're also very knowledgeable.
Right.
They read a lot. They seem to retain a lot of what they read. So I'm making a prediction, Lee, and I think probably if anybody in this country is in a place to evaluate the prediction I'm making, I think it'd probably be Lee Arnold, because you've been around here about as long as I have. But we've seen this thing grow. We've seen it grow beyond what even I ever thought it would get to be. Mm-hmm. That platinum albums and double platinum albums are fairly commonplace now. 1-2 million sales in country music is fairly commonplace now. It's grown beyond the bounds of what I ever thought it would. I'm seeing the same people at concerts. Now, we're sitting backstage at a concert. If you were to look out across the crowd, if you could walk out into that crowd of people out there, several thousand people, and a lot of those people that are there, you would find that as little time ago as 2 years ago, they would have been listening to rock radio.
Absolutely.
But now they listen to country radio because they don't hear what they want to on rock radio, but they do hear it on country radio. Now, if we keep giving that to those people, the record companies will keep spending the money that they've spent in the past on exploitation of new artists. They have done a great job of breaking new artists the last couple of years, last 5 or 6 years for that matter. And the radio stations will keep those nice 40 and 45 record playlists and not dry the playlist up to playing the same 18 records over and over again. And we can keep exposing the new artists and exposing the music and giving those people out there what they want. I can see country music rivaling rock music for number one place in the biggest drawing and the biggest selling music in the next 7 or 8 years. And I say that with a lot of qualification, in that this has to happen, that has to happen, the other thing has to happen. But I am very, very serious in feeling that way about it. As you well know, the demographics of this country grows a little older every year. There's not as many teenagers as there were. And the musical tastes seem to change for some reason or another. When somebody gets around 30 years old, you know, their musical tastes seem to start changing a little bit. But they're not ready to sit in a rocking chair, you know, and listen to only Lawrence Welk or somebody like that. Not there's anything wrong with Lawrence Welk. I happen to like Lawrence Welk. But they're not ready to listen to just Strauss waltzes all day long. They want something with a little beat to it. Well, they're finding it in country radio. And we got to keep giving it to them. We got to keep pumping that music out there to them. And then when they listen, they'll listen to Hank Jr. and say, hey, I like that. And the first thing you know, George Strait comes on and said, that old boy ain't bad. You know, and then George Jones comes on. Well, I've been aware of him for years, but I never realized he sang like that. You know, and the first thing you know, you got a guy sitting there that maybe for one or two artists, maybe they're an Alabama fan. Maybe they hear stuff on Alabama on a country station they like, and they never really cared anything about anybody else. But as they listen, they find out Emmylou Harris is fantastic. You know, and they find out, hey, you know, I really like the Desert Rose Band. You know, if they listen. So that's what's happening. We're making new conversions every day, and it's going along. All we got to do is keep doing that, and everything's going to be just fine.
You've been out there doing it for such a long, long time and with such success, Charlie. I guess you found at one time, as far as the public was concerned, with your music, the magic formula, the kinds of songs to record that will get reaction from the crowd and also, conversely, sales, people buying those records that like what you were doing. I guess it really all started with songs like The South's Gonna Do It Again. That was like almost an anthem, a cry. It was really not only a Southern cry, it was a universal cry, patriotic cry, for something that was missing in this country.
Oh, I think so. This was back in 74. And, you know, there was we had just come out of we're basically right in the middle of we were starting to come out of a situation of not being proud of this country, of what it was, what it had done. We'd gone through some dark political days with almost the impeachment of a president. We had had the Vietnam War that had been pushed way past the point of where it should been, should have been. We had people dying in Vietnam. I think we all felt to the point to do anything, nothing but line people's pockets. I know I did. I got the feeling that way about it. And nobody's more patriotic than I am, but I really felt that way about it. And we had a real run on patriotism. I mean, really, it was just not fashionable to be patriotic. And anything you could say good about the country, about any section of the country, and I'm proud of the South. The South has been much put upon, much made fun of in my lifetime. And, you know, anything good you could say about it was kind of an up for the whole United States. And that's basically what I was saying is, hey, we do other things, you know, down here in the South. It's been a long time since the Civil War. It's been a long time since those attitudes that everybody's putting us down for. Hey, listen to our music. Listen to Marshall Tucker and Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top. Listen to what's coming out of this part of the world. And, you know, I think you'll like it. And it basically kind of got to be a thing with people that felt the same way that we did at that time.
One of your biggest successes was the monologues, the story song, the narrative called Uneasy Rider. And then you did the sequel in the new album called Uneasy Rider Number 2, which, I mean, really brought it up to 1980. You covered every social base there was in that one. You didn't leave a stone unturned.
Well, no, I get in trouble sometimes because I get a little too, or, well, I don't think I do, but no. Some people tend to think I get a little too picking on certain segments of the people, but I've picked on everybody. I picked on preachers and politicians and rednecks and everything in the world, you know, in my career. So, you know, why not them? But it's all in fun. I never do music to do anybody any harm. Music is strictly for entertainment, and if there's a message there, then so be it.
Right. Another one that was kind of an unusual song for you, but turned out to be one of your biggest hits, was Drinking My Baby.
Drinking My Baby Goodbye. You know something funny about that, Lee? My wife, I wrote that song probably 20 years ago.
Really?
My wife had been trying to get me to record that song for years. She said, you ought to record that song. And I don't want to record. And finally, I said, okay, all right, I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a shot. And I did. Sure enough, it was a top five single for us.
If there's ever been a career record for you and a story that really turned out to be one of the biggest hits associated with you, that you're going to have to do in every show, I guess you ever do, Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yeah, you know, that was definitely a milestone for us. If I had to pick two songs that were milestones for us, that would, the first one would be South's Gonna Do It Again,
right.
Which we have to do every show and love doing every show, and The Devil Went Down to Georgia. We hit a nerve with that one somehow or another. I think probably it was, the story was not unique. It's an old theme that we're all familiar with, the devil and Daniel Webster and the Faustian things and that sort of thing. But the thing is that I think it was a little different from anything else that happened to be on the air at that time.
There you have it. Charlie Daniels just being himself. Join me next week when we'll be talking to Clint Black. Until then, Lee Arnold reminding you to stay safe and keep it country.